There are Obama is a liar. A socialist and his feet stink.
Tell it.
It's Sangreet.
It's Sangeeta. I miss her.
Sangeeta.
She's so cool.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses to a rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit. To keep a sin flood of statism and apparently feminism out of your head.
Yes.
Can you feel it? Is it working for you, Sangeeta? Can you feel it?
Yes. Yes, it is working very much for me. We are politically correct here on the Freedom Fiends. And we got someone else here, but it's a chick, so we're not
Nothing gonna, in politics we're not is
gonna,
correct.
We're not going to let her talk. Are you there, Diana? You there?
Worms.
Worms. Quiet, ladies. A white male is speaking.
You know, you ought to set up the sarcasm, I think, before each show. I think it might have come off like you were serious yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mind if ladies talk, if they got something to say. But, you know, really, the only supremacy on this show is I get to talk when I want to, no matter who's talking. Like, literally.
You know, we ought to do the math. I bet we have the most gender egalitarian show on AM radio.
Yeah, unless there's like one that's one man and one woman. And you know, talk radio should be one man and one woman. Davi, what are you sipping?
Really?
You're sipping a teeming coffee. Teeming cup of slish, aren't you?
My caffeine. That's what I'm drinking.
Diana, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
We got to make it clear that this is a different Diana. This is not Diana Kyler, who's been a Fiends co-host for a long time. This is a new Fiends co-host in, well, let's not say in training yet. Let's say this is, she's still passing the audition. This is Diana Davidson from the YouTube channel Feminism LOL, Feminism LOL, which is kind of a takeoff on Feminism 101, because she's, do you like the feminists?
Oh, that's clever.
Diana, it is.
I'll tell you, the feminists are not liking me. They've been on Twitter today trying to explain to people that if they see any videos by me, I am the worst misogynist on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the I call that twatter, not Twitter, because
I can't say that on Twitter.
They're tweeting at you with their tweeters.
They ought to give you a plaque if you're the worst misogynist ever. That's you like win. A title.
Twitter. I know it's kind of a contest in the MGTOW.
Is that like a self-hating Jew?
But
yeah, we're just really trying to get kicked off radio here.
It's a badge of honor, really, too.
Vaginal? It's vaginal?
It's a badge of honor to be called a misogynist in the community that I come from. But I don't get Twitter. I've never understood why people like it.
I don't understand why people like YouTube. I mean, you do great on YouTube, but I don't like YouTube.
I think it just epitomizes the short attention span.
Twitter is a shorter attention span than YouTube. Oh, Twitter, the average video that goes viral, I helped write a book on YouTube. I don't know if people know this, but I wrote a book for, co-wrote a book, actually was a credited and paid ghostwriter. Like, my name's on it, I got paid, but it was another guy's book. He just didn't know how to write a book, and I'd written books for, what's the tech company? O'Reilly Media. It's like one of the biggest tech companies in the world. It's a book called YouTube, An Insider's Guide to Climbing the Charts. So I know a lot of weird stuff about YouTube. One thing I know about YouTube is the average length of a video that goes viral is 2 minutes. And that's a lot longer than a tweet, man. A tweet's like 10 seconds of reading, if that.
It's surprising how long 2 minutes is, actually, if you try to record something without knowing what you want to say first.
I really think you could overthrow the world in 2 minutes if you did it right, if you had the right message. Really, you know, it just boils down to, what is the message of the Fiends, Davi? I think it's something like, government's dumb, cats are cool, coffee rocks, me, blah, blah, blah. Government's dumb, cats are cool, right?
That sounds about right. I don't know that we have like a mission statement.
That's it. That's it. And then like, then Cantwell's dumb too. But,
Well, then carve that in brass and put it up on the wall.
I will. So Diana sounds better than last night. I got to say, you're not quite up to Fiends audio. You will be.
Yeah, it took some work. Well, you know, I got to wait for the mail, right? I've got that Fiends recommended Fiends microphone.
Mic. Oh, did you order it?
On the way. Okay, yeah, I'm lying. No, I'm going to order it tonight after we get off.
And you're in Canada. Oh, it's the Freedom Fiends. You order it while we're on air. I mean, I think our real motto is we're too busy talking to do talk radio. Because usually we talk, like, and here's the next step you need to take, is get a Windows PC so you can use Fiend Phone, so we can actually talk during the breaks without having to, like, have someone switch you over. Does your roommate have a PC?
It used to be PC, but they kept dying on me. I finally just ended up giving up on them, so.
Does your roommate have a PC?
No, Mac. It's a Mac household.
It's a Mac house? And, does that mean you're better than me?
They're supposed to be a lot better for audio and video and stuff.
They're
but
not. That's a lie.
I couldn't use one before because I don't even like when Windows changes their systems. I lucked out with Windows because I had Windows 95 with my first computer. And it was a great operating system. And I had that for far too long because I wasn't using the internet all that much. I just used it as a, text writing machine, basically, for the longest time. And but then I got to miss out on Windows ME. And
that was hideous.
Windows, I think, was there a 2000 or something that sucked?
2000 was okay. Vista was, you can't say that word. Vista was horrible. XP was okay. Everything after XP was okay.
But, yeah, so I went from 95 to
except
XP.
Vista. Yeah. I still have a computer running XP, but my main two computers are running 7. I have a laptop running 8. And it's about to go to 10. And 10's going to be the last version. It's not going to have versions after that. It's just going to be a rolling update.
It's the final one. It's the utopia of Windows.
That's what they're presenting.
They're breaking the Windows to spur the software market.
The broken Windows fallacy. There you go. Man, that's evil. So,
I had my PC melted down so many times, and I've
melted down.
It's kind of like moving leaving a house or an apartment with nothing but a suitcase, right? When your computer breaks down, and I've had to do that a number of times. It's kind of liberating because then you get to just rebuild. And I have this attitude.
I love starting with a virgin computer install. That's like the happiest 4 hours of my life whenever I do that.
But I never really kept backup. Okay, sure, I had some memory sticks and stuff, but I didn't back up all my stuff. So my attitude was, well, the stuff that I had that I lost, I can do better. So this was like just basically an incentive for me to up my game every time I
I have it all. I have it all stored, encrypted, on secret websites around the world. Like, literally, my wife and I could walk out of the house. Now that we don't have cats, like, we could get in the car right now and drive and never come back to this house and, like, go to Russia and live in the consulate with Edward Snowden. And, like, I would be up doing the Freedom Fiends the next night and have all... I would have, like, all the data that I have on my computer. And not because of the cloud. I don't use the cloud. I've had my own cloud. So, I want to play a song by my old band... I'll leave the mics up. We can laugh and talk over it. But which one should I play? It's my band Slish. Somebody found this tape. Somebody put this tape. I didn't even have this music. This is from 97. It's when I first got clean. And I'm going to play the song Sucker. I may have to do some live censoring, but it's a pretty cool song. It's beautiful, too. Here we go. It's from a cassette tape. That's why it sounds like this.
Cassette tape. Wow.
I have a name tag that I wear to my job at the mall. It says, hello, my name is Paul.
I'm taking back up and playing guitar on this and helped write it.
We have a chain store called Hot Topic next to the place that sells cheese pretzels. They sell alternative wear. I want to work there.
Like the musical version of Clerks.
I'm a sucker.
Yeah.
Sucker. Hopelessly suburban. So many bad ladies with their babies and their hairstyles from the 80s. I have to kiss their asses if I want to keep my job. See the youngsters dressed like gangsters answering their pagers. Mommy's call. Let's do some shopping. Get there early. Go downstairs and get a Slurpee. So much to do here. In my
That's a lyric you don't hear very often. Sucker. Slurpee.
And special Sucker. World. That's a screenwriting reference.
Sucker. is Paul.
And that was the rock musical group Slish, going all the way back to 1997. And that's available, the whole record, on YouTube for free. Audio only. If you search Slish, full album, that's S-L-I-S-H, full album. I was trying to figure out who put this up, and then I figured out it's like the son of a woman I used to date back in 97, and like, I haven't seen him since then. Like, he was a toddler, and he's like a full-grown man now, and put this up. It's pretty cool what comes back and bites you in the butt. Don't you all think
it
so?
Had, cool. It had all the elements.
Yeah, this was our attempt to sell out. It would have worked, except we were insane, and nobody wanted to deal with us.
You should have sought a sponsorship from Hot Topic.
Yeah. I don't know, I think they would have
figured out. Have you been in a Hot Topic in, like, the last 10 years? It's pretty hilarious.
Is there still a Hot Topic? You should sell your buttons in Hot Topic. You should get that worked out.
I really should. I should be designing t-shirts and buttons for like every rock t-shirt store in the world.
Yeah, you do good at it. You're a good, and there we go. YouTube is showing me pictures of Diana because I watch so many of her videos on Feminism LOL. But now that YouTube thinks that's all I ever want to watch, and it's always in near my top, like recommended over on the right. Women are false gods.
I can never tell. Like, what's when that? I'm watching YouTube and I see the side recommendations and I'm there, I don't know if it's because my video's linked it to that person. Yeah. Or if it's just...
And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know it. You know
it's
it.
All true.
You know it, baby. Everywhere. Cats. Baby cats. It's like, oh, my wife. Baby cats.
So here we go. Freedom Themes, the show not worth fact checking.
Barack Obama is a liar. A socialist and his feet stink.
So is Diana there? We're not letting her on yet. We're still keeping her in the corner. We got to build a custom.
What was it? All the whole show yesterday, every like break, we came back and she was quiet and we're like, we're waiting for the cuss dump to come back. And I missed what that was about.
That there wasn't was a joke. A joke. That was
I didn't understand.
The joke was she's never been on radio and is a filthy cuss mouth YouTuber. And I was afraid, I'm still afraid she's going to cuss. So we're waiting for the cuss dump to build before we put her on each time. You thought that was a joke? Mm. No, it's true. So we're still waiting.
Training wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Yep. It's true. It's totally true. So I'm
Am I allowed back on now? Am I here?
You go stand in the corner, lady. All right, we'll let you back in a minute. So I'm you can come back. So I'm kind of irked, like crankier than usual tonight, because I have my teaching hospital has become like a teaching hospice, but I'm not dying. But it's like, suddenly I have medical equipment in my life, and it's not like the fun kind. It's not like kink medical play kind of. It's like I really, so I have this thing. My doc's
not creative enough.
Hey, baby, let's try this one out. So this one, I have an oxygen testing unit attached to my finger. You know, the little thing that clamps on your finger and has a wire on it. And it goes to a device that's like the size of two iPhones stacked. And it's measuring my oxygen. I have to have this on for 24 hours. Like, I took a nap with this on tonight. Try taking a nap with this with a wire clamped to your finger that, like, you can't pull out of something. It makes everything difficult. And I was monkeying with my mic, and I unscrewed it, and it fell on the floor. And it's an RE20. It's a big, heavy mic. And I almost hurt my foot, and I was running around during the break looking for a screw. And that's not a euphemism. It's the screw that holds the mic in to the mic stand. Overhead mic stand. So it was a challenge. The challenges of life. But I'm getting off pretty light, man, with all the sex and drugs and needle drugs and weird trisexual experiences and shooting drugs in my earlobes and drinking whiskey and driving stolen cars, and what else did I do? Well, they were, I didn't steal them, I was just in them. And, you know, I got off pretty, and smoked, chain smoking for like 30 years. Like, all that happened was I got some asthma out of the deal. So I didn't even get Hep C. I did not get HIV. I'm doing pretty well, man. So this is Freedom Fiends, brought to you by the medical industrial complex. Diana, what do you want to talk about? You got a topic tonight, something about laws. We love laws here on the Freedom Fiends. It's what keeps society safe.
I think from last night, actually, Dobby mentioned loving, you know, facts that were wrong and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right?
I'll ask Dobby. I mean,
the trivia of things that are wrong.
So, Dobby.
Yes.
Do you know about the lady who got burned by McDonald's hot coffee and sued?
Yeah.
Do you think that was a frivolous lawsuit?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because the cup says hot on it.
Okay.
I think they added that after the lawsuit.
After that, yeah, they did. The water was
It was always there. When I was a kid.
But the water was nearly boiling. It was way hotter than McDonald's like guidelines are to have it. It was employee error, and it was, she had third-degree burns, and she had to have multiple surgeries. And McDonald's even refused to pay her medical bills. Like, she wasn't even suing for hardship or damages or pain, suffering. She was suing for medical bills. And
I wonder, she was really old, though. Wasn't she, like, 92 really old, or something?
And she was very, she was hurt really, really badly. If you look at the pictures, like, the pictures the hospital took, you will not think this was a
what makes it a third-degree
lawsuit.
Burn?
That means the
skin, is broken?
Is burned off, yeah.
But 92-year-olds have thin, paper-thin skin.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
McDonald's hired an ad agency to spin this from she had a devastating, you know, McDonald's harmed her, seriously, and refused to even pay her medical bills. So she came back and sued them for medical bills and pain and suffering because they were being such, you know, weenies about it. So McDonald's hired a PR firm, advertising firm, to like basically get all of the talk show hosts that week to make jokes about it. Like, fed them the script. Like, you will make this person look like a nuisance lawsuit. And they even name, like, the Stella Awards, the Nuisance Lawsuit Awards, are named after her. And this was not a nuisance lawsuit. This was corporations screwing the little guy and painting her with a bad brush.
I still don't think it's so cut and dry.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends.
Why don't you do some research during the
break, Debbie. To those other shows. No,
this is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially
do not want you to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Meow. Diana sitting in the corner. Shall we build the coast up?
A socialist dentist feed stink. Barack Obama is a liar. A socialist dentist feed stink.
Yep.
So I managed a coffee shop for 5 years. I want the actual temperature of the coffee. That's what I want.
You want to know what the you want to know what it was?
Yeah, because I got to the point working in this coffee shop that I didn't need thermometers anymore. I could tell within like 4 or 5 degrees. By the feel outside the metal of a pitcher I was steaming.
Like on Breaking Bad, like when Gale is, like right before he gets murdered, he's testing his, he has a really cool thermometer. You see it, he points this like gun-like thing at his coffee pot. It reads it from a distance.
Yeah.
I saw the trap you were laying for to leave there. I've researched it and it's a pretty thorny case. Didn't know about the guidelines for temperature though.
Did you catch that?
I did.
That's one of our fans, Nathan, sent that in. I'll say it again. I'll have it said again. Here we go. I hear a dog. Is there a dog barking?
I saw the trap you were laying. I saw the trap you were laying. I saw the trap you were laying for Navi there. I've researched it and it's a pretty thorny case. Didn't know about the guidelines for temperature though.
Mm. What makes it a trap?
Oh, because I said, so do you think that's a frivolous case? And you said, absolutely. See, what we're trying to do, and you're not really playing along because you're being too suspicious. Sorry. You're being
180 degrees Fahrenheit. Here we go. That is pretty hot.
Now, here's something interesting. Is Diana back?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. That was the dog barking at my patio door there.
Ah, okay. Dobby said it was his cat, but Dobby's
my cat is in
cat
the room
is weird.
Moving around. I don't know what he's doing. He's not barking, though. He hasn't learned that trick yet.
So, I was put in the hospital with second-degree burns as a hazing at a boarding school when I was 14. And it was basically they gave me a wedgie, hung me on the wall, and then poured hot water down the back of my pants. And they got the water out of the tap. And we lived in this building that had two water heaters connected together. You okay? You okay there?
Yeah, that's my cat. Okay. He's being rambunctious.
And they poured water from the tap down the back of my pants, and it put me in the hospital for a week. Two kids were kicked out of school for it. And it was the first time I took narcotics. Now, I'm glad my parents were not suing people, because there would have been all sorts of things to sue from there. I could probably go sue them now from, you know, I was a drug addict because of this years later. But basically, I was in excruciating pain, took me to the hospital, shot me up with morphine. I immediately went, all's well with the world. You know, like I went from worst moment of my life to, hey, this is pretty groovy. I want to feel like this forever. And, you know, 10 years later, I tried to. So, but I have experienced you know, very hot water on my skin with burns. And so I know what this Stella lady's going through, but you got to remember this thing. Okay, regardless of whether you think this should have been a lawsuit or not, the press has made it sound like it was frivolous for her to even complain. Like, not even whether she blamed anyone or not. You know, like, oh, you know, coffee's hot. You should know that. And, like,
so I guess I'm not saying that there's not grounds for a lawsuit.
McDonald's basically beat up an old lady and then hired press thugs to make it sound like she was the villain. That's what happened.
Well, I think one of the
I didn't know that they were paying the top radio people.
What's that, Diana?
One of the things to consider is what that means for smaller businesses when people can successfully sue over hot coffee burning them. Then a big company like McDonald's can absorb the loss of the lawsuit. But for smaller companies starting up, then it's a matter of, well, what kind of insurance do we need? And it becomes so difficult for them to, I guess, like, it just means that if McDonald's can be sued, then the corner store can be sued for it too. The little coffee shop that somebody's started up to try and independently employ themselves. The same law applies to everybody, so it's the precedent of it that's the concern, I think.
And our two communists are silly and have the logic of tiny, small, little, jolly man children.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here you go. Liebeck's attorney discovered that McDonald's required franchises to hold drive-through coffee at 180 to 190 degrees Fahrenheit. When I worked in coffee, I would never have served anything above 140. That was my upper limit, and I rarely hit it. It was considered scorched and not worth serving if you broke that.
I like the weird life experiences that Davi and I bring to this, and I want to know. So Davi was responsible for coffee temperature for 5 years of his life. I was put in the hospital by someone pouring hot liquid down my pants, like sort of like this lady did inadvertently. Now, what secret superpower do you bring to this superhero trio?
That's hot liquid related,
or any way related to this? Yeah.
If she plays her cards right, she'll eventually be a 79-year-old woman.
I can't think of a good.
Or a plaintiff in a lawsuit.
Was she 72? I thought it said 92.
Davi said 92. She was 79.
79? Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty old, man. That's older than most people live. Although, don't most women live to 79 and most men in America live to 75? Because
I know it's different. I don't know how different.
Because society.
the gap is supposed to be closing between the two, but used to be that women outlived men by about 10 years, I think.
Because men did the hard physical labor.
See, here's the thing. I bet if you did like an objective analysis of this, the way that people like to do over the wage gap, you would find that a lot of this is skewed by things like deaths in the military and stuff like that. Like, I don't know that it would necessarily apply to your average Joe living.
Yeah, and you know, average lifespan is a really weird thing. Like, when people say, you know, in the days of the Bible, the average people only lived to be 15. And it's like, that's not really true. That was the average lifespan. But a lot of people lived to be 60 or 70 in the days of the Bible. But, you know,
they knew what gray hair was. So somebody must have broken through that ceiling. You know,
but every other child died at birth or before age one. So that really skewed it, you know.
Well, averages, I don't understand the obsession with living to be older. Like, we're so obsessed with extending the lifetime. But the quality isn't there because they'll keep people alive in ridiculous situations.
I'm already there. Where's the death panels for me, man? I want my shot of morphine on the air. I'm kidding.
Now, here's a depressing story. My grandfather had hip problems, right? And he was getting parts of his body amputated because of the bad circulation to do with his hips. And he was getting gangrene. And so they had to keep amputating leg parts, right? And he came to visit, and we informed him that our dog was going to be put down because she was getting old and not getting around very well. He looked at her with envy.
Whoa. Doesn't Canada have...
When I was a kid at Thanksgiving, my great-grandmother used to pray for death at, like, holiday dinners and things.
No.
Out loud?
That was how she gave grace. Yeah, out loud. She would give grace. She was a devoutly religious woman, like a born-again Christian. And when she would give grace before a family dinner, she would be like, thank you, Jesus. I'm ready to come up there and join you whenever you're ready to have me. Like,
that's one of the cool things about having a gun. And this is not anything suicidal, but like, I'm not religious to the point where, you know, I'm not like someone who believes like, oh, it's a mortal sin. I don't think I'd ever kill myself unless I was in mortal pain. But I think also, like, having a loaded gun on you all the time, it's about life, man, because it proves you're here by choice. It really does, you know? Really, like, you know, anybody who's praying for death, like, what are they doing here if they're praying for death? It's, you know, probably either they're, you know, don't have the means to easily take their life, their own life, or they believe it's a mortal sin. But, you know, if you don't believe it's a mortal sin and you know, constantly have the means.
Well, she was doing genealogy is what she was doing. She was compiling like all the generations of our family as far back as she could, which is an endless hobby.
My dad does that too. I think that's for people that don't have much going on in their own life. They're trying to live vicariously.
Well, she, you know, she had a full life already.
Somebody killed himself in my town today. It's, I mean, that's wouldn't be news, like, you know, where you guys live in big cities. Like, that probably happens 10 times, you know, 5 times a day. But the little town I live, it's kind of weird. It was a woman who's 27, and she shot herself in a schoolyard of an abandoned school. Isn't that weird? We don't know anything more about it.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the living longer thing, like, you know, it's supposed to be down to stress, right? So men are out doing difficult work, they're stressing out. Even like an office job can be stressful because you get humiliated on a constant basis, right?
I'm so not, man. We paid two guys to do a bunch of physical labor today. It was kind of fun. I sat at my computer and looked out my window and watched the guys we were paying move 17 tons of gravel into our backyard and move it around with shovels until it was 4 inches thick throughout the whole backyard.
But that reminds us, we were talking about stress, though, on the break there. And there's supposed to be this thing, and I think it was Japan, where they have buildings like this business where you can go and pay them to let you break stuff. So they've got, like, you go in, say, a room that's got, like, televisions and just stuff everywhere, and you can take a golf club and just, you know, destroy it, take all your stress out. And you sign, like, a waiver when you go in so you can't sue them if you hurt yourself.
That sounds very Japanese to me.
Parties like that in college. People would bring in all their old computers and cell phones, and we'd bring sledgehammers, and you smash it all up, and then you get yourself some like epoxy and a drill, and you make sculptures out of it.
You know, smashing computers back then is so dangerous. Like, you were poisoning yourself.
Yeah.
But
I lived.
So Japan also, you know what's kind of interesting about a lot of countries? A lot of countries will support things like financially for other countries that they wouldn't allow in their own country. Like, the best rifle I own The most accurate rifle I own is made in Japan by a government corporation, government-controlled corporation. Japan is a country where it is illegal to own a gun or a bullet. Like, no citizen can do it. But they make really good, cheap guns and sell them to America. I know there's other examples of that. Well, I guess Afghanistan's... well, the Taliban had something to do with heroin production. It was shipping to other countries. But did the... The non-Taliban Afghanistan government, I think, had something to do with that, too. I think the guy the U.S. put in, didn't he, Karzai?
Well, there's the U.S. supporting the Saud family in Arabia, and we wouldn't necessarily have public beheadings in our squares.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, there you go. And pinching lady, having cops pinching ladies.
Yeah, we don't have a department of enjoining good and forbidding evil.
Yeah.
There's a really good movie about the gun trade with, it was like Robert Downey Jr. was in it.
About the gun trade?
There's a really good movie about it.
You're thinking of a movie with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah, you're right, it was.
You're thinking of a movie called Lord of War, which has the most amazing intro ever. Go on YouTube, it's up there. Search Lord of War intro, Life of a Bullet. And it shows I've got that rifle, too. That's an AK-47. But, that bullet's eye view of its whole life is pretty dire and really well done. Great animation. That's not Downey.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his Porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Meow. So if any of our rich, nerdy listeners have an old PC, Windows PC, XP 7 or 8, they could donate for Diana to be her Fiend Phone-only computer that she keeps in a corner and eventually shoots. Let us know. So here's the thing I'm thinking, too. Like, if there was a place in America, like that place in Japan, that you could go break stuff, they would probably, like... put you on a watch list if you went there, you know, like they would consider it, like in America, that
you
kind of stuff.
You just gotta do it underground, man.
Yeah.
You know what we did? We there was a whole eviction conflict with our neighbor when I was in college. And so we had an eviction party. And what that meant was we moved all of his stuff out a day early. We forfeited his deposit and we invited everyone over to graffiti up his apartment.
Oh, everyone's done that. So, speaking of Japan, Diana, isn't there a kind of like MGTOW-ish type thing happening in Japan a lot where like young men just aren't bothering to get married?
Yeah, it's... Oh, sorry, my voice.
We can take it here if you need a second. I'll talk.
Yeah, I got to just cough.
Yeah, she has a cat. A cat. You know, in America they say you have a frog in your throat. In France they say you have a cat in your throat. That's really the saying.
All right, so no, it's actually it's similar to MGTOW, but they're called grass eaters, and my understanding, my understanding of it is that it's like the younger generation that basically just isn't interested in dating and stuff, and they from my reading, they apparently act more feminine and stuff as well, so they just are they're kind of not they're more androgynous, right? They're
a lot
not
of
showing
MGTOW
any
guys
interest
kind
in
of macho, huh?
Yeah,
or manly,
but. That's, you know, a big part of MGTOW is basically rejecting social expectations, right? So it's very similar. And, I mean, they don't have a name for young girls in Japan who might be going out and wanting to work in construction or something, right? But for the guys who are shunning or shrugging off their social expected roles, they, you know, it's a very concerning event, and they call them grass eaters. I don't know how they came up with
I think that's a reference to to like ducks or some kind of bird. I forget which it is. I think I read something about it. But
it's probably just doesn't work in the translation.
Yeah, yeah. So in America or in North America, in the MGTOW community on the internet, could a guy be accepted in MGTOW if he was really like effeminate?
Oh, absolutely. There's very few rules for MGTOW. One of them is that you can't be married, right? And no, surprisingly, that was an issue. Where this is the biggest issue between Voice for Men and the men's rights movement and MGTOW was that a bunch of guys who were married wanted to call themselves MGTOW because they thought it sounded really cool. This is like, oh yeah, they're kind of, you know, the hip guys, right? And So they wanted to be able to use that acronym, and then it was like, well, you can't be married, dude. And so AVFM came out saying, oh well, there's
join
no
us.
Reason you're,
join
you're,
us. Yeah.
You're being elitist and stuff. There's, I was like, no, it's an actual movement. And the only thing that is important about that movement that separates them, that's effective about what they're doing, is that they're not getting married. Right?
Can you have been formally married?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And a lot of them were. Right?
But, So I'm co-opting MGTOW. This is going to irk you, but I'm only co-opting it for right now, and I'm never going to use it again. My wife and I decided tonight that we're a different form of MGTOW, which totally violates everything about MGTOW. But she and I were talking about how, like, you know, our whole life, both of us separately and together, have always been pair-bonded people who only wanted one person in their life. Like, I've always been kind of sequential monogamy. I've had periods where I didn't have a girlfriend, and my wife had years after her husband where she didn't have a boyfriend or anything. You know, so we can be on our own, but like today it came up, like we needed a couple extra people to come work and help these workers. We ended up just hiring equipment for them, like to make it easier. But you know, like you can't just go hire some Mexicans in Wyoming like you can in California. They're not here. You know, you can't just go to Home Depot. So we decided that we were misanthropes going our own way.
I'm not. That's what I called myself that, actually.
Did you really?
Because I thought that using the MGTOW was more important than, you know, whether or not I was male or.
Well, I got to find a new acronym that's similar but doesn't infringe on y'all's intellectual. Yeah.
They laughed
standing.
For about 2 seconds.
Can MGTOW guys be gay married? Just curious.
Can they be gay?
Well, no, because marriage is a state.
But can they be gay?
They can be gay, yeah.
All right. Can they be Muslim? We'll be back after this trip to the market and some horrifying national news and international news.
Worms.
Don't be afraid. Come back. We'll make you feel better. We'll pet you after the news scares you. Misanthropes going their own way. Diana doesn't meow.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Meow.
The Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So you're going to have to forgive me on this one. Michael has been taken away by the MGTOW death panels for intellectual property infringement, and we're looking into his case. It's probably a frivolous lawsuit, but you know that's the way a free society works. So maybe he'll be back later, but until then, it's just me and Diana. So
and
we're going to talk about frivolous lawsuits. Is that where you want to go?
Frivolous lawsuits.
Not so, rudderless ship.
If we bypass the debate over whether or not the coffee thing was frivolous, I think the Stella Awards that resulted from it are pretty entertaining. So, you get stuff like, I think I mentioned when we were talking earlier, this woman who successfully sued for tripping over a child in the store, and it was her own child.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there's, right. I mean, they're entertaining in a way, but it's also kind of scary that every time somebody successfully does something like this, it opens the doorway for, you know, people who want that free ride. They, you know, like, right. I had a friend when I was younger.
There's a case in my area. No, go ahead.
I had a friend when I was a teenager. She used to, if a car was coming towards her, when she crossed the street, she'd say, "Hit me, I need the money."
Huh.
And
so there was a, there's a guy, this is fairly recent, although I think that he's dead now, but he was an attorney who, he's in a wheelchair and he would sue restaurants for handicapped access sorts of lawsuits. And the thing that he discovered was that the state guidelines and the federal guidelines were in contradiction and it was impossible to comply with both. And so what he would do is he would surf around Google Street View, look for someone whose parking spaces were not quite wide enough or door was not quite whatever, the measurements were off, and then he would just go down there and serve them papers. And he did this dozens of times and made hundreds of thousands of dollars. And finally, his secretary had an attack of conscience and blew the whistle on it and got him labeled, I forget the term, it's like a specious litigator or a hostile litigator or whatever. There's some term that a lawyer can be labeled. It's not frivolous. It is for filing frivolous lawsuits, but it's a term that an attorney can be labeled for excessive filing of frivolous lawsuits. And he really had no interest in...
He's a corrupter of the purpose. A corrupter of the purpose of law.
Yeah.
If you
like,
had
he really
phone.
Was not interested in...
If you had Fiend Phone... You guys would have heard each other. That's it.
We did hear each other. I think we heard each other. he wasn't interested in actually expanding wheelchair or handicapped accessibility in these places. And when they offered to make whatever the repairs were or whatever the changes were that he was claiming were the problem, that wasn't enough for him. He wanted a settlement. He wanted to take the money for himself, and he was never a patron of these restaurants in the first place. So, and sometimes he got them shut down. There are times when the architecture of a building just won't allow for it.
And, well, I think like as far as all these laws go, it's just kind of crazy. There's every time they add another law, it's not like they take one away that they decided wasn't necessary, right? So The laws just keep accumulating to the point where. Isn't there some book like saying the average person breaks so many laws a day? It's something fairly high, like
five felonies a day or three felonies a day. I forget the name of the book, but it's something 10. Felonies a day. I'm sure that it is. I'm sure that's a conservative estimate.
The book is Three Felonies a Day. It's the title of it.
Three felonies
only
a day.
Three, and now I'm disappointed.
Well, you know, there's also all these like implausible laws. Like, I know in California, it is illegal to operate a horseless carriage in the fog without a man standing out in front with a lantern. And so if you think about it, every driver in California is breaking that law every time there's fog. So,
I think they need to get like a job for somebody just going through the law books and cleaning them up. Like, go through to say, okay, do we really need this one? And, you know, just whittle it down a little bit. Between the criminal laws.
Clear the cash.
The federal laws, then you got the civic laws, the buy zone laws, you know. And I kind of think there's...
I've heard anthropologists argue that the writing down of laws is the descent of the field of law. And that if you look at sort of like pre-modern civilizations, the fact that laws had to be verbal meant that they had to be memorized, which meant that they had to be, that they were, it was capable for them to be common knowledge, right? Because the average person could actually be aware of all of the laws that applied to them. And the act of writing them down means that you now have the ability to create more laws than a person can be aware of.
Yeah, well, and the wording
it,
of
it
them.
Also means that you, it's the other thing. Verbal laws, they tend to be sort of like rhyming limericks, right? Like, break the deal, spin the wheel, right? I just recently rewatched all the Mad Max movies. That was one of the laws in Bartertown. But, there's something more populist about that, like if that the fact that the laws would be known by the common people and understood and in their language. I really think that that's sort of essential to any expectation of compliance.
Well, I think that if a law makes sense and it's reasonable, it's a lot easier to remember. Right? We've got probably as much literature just defining what every word in the law books actually means as sure. we have laws, you know, because it seems like that's all it's about. You can't go to court without a lawyer because it's all about words. It's not about common sense. It's not about right and wrong. And actually,
right.
one of the dumb lawsuits I came across was a woman who got bit in the butt by a dog, and she decided to sue, and she didn't think about who she should be suing. So instead of the dog owner, she sued the dog, and as a result, lost the case.
Did somebody file? Was he served? Was he subpoenaed? Did he appear in court? What happened?
Well, from the reading of it.
Did he take the stand or did he plead the fifth?
It says it happened in Detroit. And she was bitten on the buttocks by a police dog. Lost her case because she sued the wrong defendant. Woman filed her suit against the dog. It only works if you expect to be paid in kibbles and bits. The judge not only dismissed the suit against poor Scruffy, but also fined the woman for filing a frivolous suit. The dog did not offer any comment because he's a freaking dog.
She should have sued the city, right? Bitten by a police dog.
But really, like, if you think about it, I mean, whether or not she should have been suing for being bit by a dog, you know, given that it's a police dog, it makes a little more sense. But can't they just say, oh, I think you made an error. I think you meant to sue the police department, and not just throw the case out because of the wording, right?
Well, they might have done that if it was a civilian dog.
But it's just a separation between, you know, I think the intent of the law to assess justice and to discuss whether or not somebody's been, you know, been done wrong, and it just becoming about words. Right? That's the when you think about whether or not if somebody's done something wrong, you know, violated your property or whatever, it's a whole bunch of stuff to consider about. Like beyond whether or not this person had the right to do that. If you're going to go into the courts of law, you're talking years. You're talking about obsessing over this one case for, you know, at least 2 years of your life, most likely, with all the dates you set. You set court dates just to set another court date, right? And
yeah, you know, there's something really interesting that I wish, like, more people talked about when they get in these bizarre sort of, like, social episodes where people are arguing about what's legal and what's moral, and you get these sort of like law worshipers that say, oh, it's legal, therefore it's right, that sort of thing, is that the concept of justice itself isn't really defined in law. Like, it's something that's sort of super illegal, right? Like, the writing down of laws and the execution of the Justice Department is an abstraction from what actual justice is. And I mean, like, in a sense, the concept of justice and what people subjectively think justice is, it predates any legal framework. Like, it existed and it was the onus for creating a legal framework. So it's independent of it.
Well, how much do you think it changes society, like with the massive cities that we have? When I think about a society that could function with common sense, I can only picture it as being like a village, right? A small town. Where everybody kind of knows everybody, right? Once you get into the larger communities where people are in, you know, large apartments and we're stacked upon each other and you're just a number.
I'd like to see a village. I think a village could work that's based on people who really, really, really dislike Stefan Molyneux. Because that guy, like, it takes a village to bring him down. I've seen, like... anti-feminist Diana and feminists True Shibes work together on the project of taking this guy down. I've seen like white power guys trying to take him down. I've seen black guys trying to take him down. It's like
well, we've definitely seen anarchists and statists collaborating against him.
Oh yeah, that'd be a village I'd live in.
I still can't get over the massive number of comments flooding in on those two videos that I did on him. And the obsessive.
It's all him. It's all his computer. That's what his software company did, was make software for that.
Hence the name Stepbot for his channel.
Sockbot, yeah.
I couldn't believe that he actually, his YouTube channel is called Stepbot. It's like he, that's what he's promoting, you know, like, I want a whole army of Stepbots. That's my dream. That's my vision.
Well, I mean, it was Stepbot all the way back when he was doing his podcast from his commute to work. Like, I remember when his videos were, like, literally recorded in the front seat of his car on a commute. Which, I don't know, maybe that speaks to driving recklessly, I don't know. But I think the term Stepbot, I get that it has sort of a ugly meaning now, but I think it originally was just him being a sci-fi geek.
Okay, that would make sense. I did watch some of the older ones when I was researching him. And he was holding his microphone while he was driving. I thought that was an odd choice.
Yeah, it was like a lavalier.
There's episodes
mic.
Where he, like, you can hear him like clicking on the keyboard while he's driving. Like, there's Dobby, absolutely some cases.
Dobby used to send him money. You should ask him about that.
Yeah, that's true. I used to send him money.
Hey.
Worms.
And you saw the light.
Meow.
Meow. Is that Diana? Is she meowing now? One of us. One of us. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends talking about stupid laws.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow.
Now I want a cat.
I can't parse the accent on that one. Like what? Like meow.
It's Indian.
A cat. So that was her meow?
Yeah. Sangeeta meowing. Come on, guys. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
I think there's a delay on my microphone.
Keep going. Keep going. Talking. It's because you don't have Fiend Phone. All right, so I'm going to jump in. Dobby, talk about...
I didn't get that was Sangeeta meowing. It was kind of odd. So, I don't know. Stupid law. So, this is... we talked about this. I don't remember if we've ever talked about this, come to think of it. But this is something that happens. That in California, virtually every building has a disclaimer on the outside that says this building contains chemicals which have been recognized by the state of California to be cancer-causing agents. So, be careful if you're pregnant or obese or whatever. And because they're everywhere, everyone ignores them. They've become meaningless because, well, they probably actually are meaningless. But like when it comes to like liability disclaimers on things, if they become too prolific, they become ignored. So they don't really serve any function other than as a kind of as a waiver.
You just nailed how anarchy is going to come around. When everything's illegal, no one will care about any nanny laws.
Yeah.
Well, if
she's saying
through,
anarchists should be in favor of prohibition. We should just put the signs everywhere, ban everything.
Well, if you go through reading some of these stupid laws, right, then it seems like everything is illegal. Boogers may not be flicked into the wind. So somebody obviously got
struck by one.
Well,
that's very important. Think of the children.
So somebody obviously got accidentally struck by one. I don't know. How would you know that it wasn't just a bug or something, right? So then they create
maybe
a law for it.
Maybe it was caught on video.
Must have been a really big booger.
I don't know. It's sort of like, I mean, there's other things too that are weird artifacts. Like in California, the only things you can litter from your car are water and chicken feathers. And that's because people who...
Junk dealers may not make any business transactions with drunk persons. Junk dealers may not make any business transactions with drunk persons.
Why not? It's just another drug. What's with the prejudice?
Okay, I like this
one. If you were hauling chickens around over the interstate. Now go ahead.
It is illegal to wear a fake mustache that causes laughter in church. That's in Alabama.
Weird. I mean, that's kind of like things that are like, there are places where it's still illegal to be open on Sunday or illegal to be open after certain hours or things like that, that are all like artifacts of religious laws. Using a firearm
to fish is strictly forbidden.
To fish?
Yeah, I'm just reading Wyoming ones because I live in Wyoming.
That happen? Do people shoot fish? What if it's a really big fish? What if it's a life or death scenario? What if the fish is charging at you?
I just saw another one. This is from Kansas. No one may catch fish with his bare hands. So you can't shoot him and you can't...
That sounds like a challenge.
Catch him with your bare hands.
It is legal for women to stand within 5 feet of a bar while drinking.
Just women? It's illegal for women to stand within 5 feet of a bar while drinking. But why just women? That's very strange.
All about the words.
You may not take a picture of a rabbit from January to April without an official permit.
Here's one. This is from Kansas as well. If two trains meet on the same track, neither shall proceed until the other has passed.
Oh, well, I'm glad that the laws
that's
of physics
a math
have
problem.
Been passed into
my head
law.
My head just blew up with that one.
But it's a great excuse for why you were late for work, though.
So if you break that law, what happens?
I don't know. Like, how did they get passed? I guess there was a train crash, and so they decided that they were going to try and... See, this is the problem with laws. Instead of just talking to the train conductors and the train companies and coming up with a method by which to avoid a crash in the future, they make a law about it. That wasn't necessary.
You know, the other problem is that people think that once the law exists, that the intent of the law must be reasonable, and then they stop questioning whether or not it's reasonable. Like, there are plenty of studies that show that, like, texting while driving is not any more dangerous than, like, talking while driving or eating while driving or all these other things that haven't been legislated. But texting was this new thing, and it was a hot topic. But then also there are things that, because they are reasonable, people assume they're illegal, and they go on, like, pontificating about what's illegal when they really have no clue whatsoever. It just sort of seems reasonable to them that it would be. So if the law is so obscure that nobody knows it, does it really deter anything?
You Here's one that gets Michael in trouble.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Meow!
Wouldn't have to do that on FiendPhone.
Meow! Meow! This is the Freedom Fiend.
Uh-huh.
What are you using if you're not using FiendPhone? There are other voiceover internet protocols.
She's
I wasn't
on
aware.
Skype. So she doesn't sound as good.
Skype. Can you say that on radio?
I know, it's a dirty word to me. So real quick, before we go back into what we're going to do, and I'm still in make jail over here because I coined a term. It was misanthropes. Misanthropes going our own way together. Migtugtuk. So I'm over here in jail. So Diana, tell us about who you are and where people can find your stuff before you go back to the crazy laws.
All right. Okay. So I'm Diana Davison. My channel's Feminism LOL. It's a fun name because I get people who understand the LOL part and know that I'm talking about MGTOW and men's rights. Less so the men's rights. Now I've given up on that because I don't think that, you know, you can actually win against the feminists. I think MGTOW, men going their own way, walking away and just removing themselves, that's, I think, the best policy. If you don't like something, you remove yourself from it.
I do want to say that you're displaying classic internet. We're getting you ready for radio here, but you said my channel is called Feminism LOL. You didn't say my YouTube channel. You just assume people know you're talking about YouTube. Yeah. You got to give every bit of information on radio. And this is a teaching hospital. True. So YouTube channel. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So, I started out as a writer, so it was really tricky getting used to doing videos. I started out reading them, which is just terrible. But one of the things I noticed about YouTube is that people like it when they watch a video and they think, I could have done that. I could have done better than that. They don't do it, right? But for some reason, they like channels on YouTube that they feel like they're connected because it's a person just like them. So I didn't stress too much about it being professional. And it's done really well. I'm the only woman who discusses men going their own way, MGTOW movement. And I've got a large number of MGTOW who are very unhappy about it. But quite a few who get excited because I use my channel to ask questions and to try and push the conversation forward. And I find it's a really exciting thing to be a part of because it is a discussion that's happening now. And all of the major channels that discuss it, there's not an ego issue with them, really. So they'll bring people on to Google Hangouts and stuff who are just brand new channels. They promote each other. And also, anybody can get criticized and called out on saying something stupid. If you say something that everyone else is going, well, that doesn't make much sense, you know, I think you got it wrong, then you're going to get confronted on it. And it's really important with checks and balances in any system that nobody is the leader, that's like the untouchable. And so so that's what I do anyways, is YouTube videos. Right now I do one a week. I try to get it up on Saturday, and then that means it's probably going to go on Sunday because I'm always a little bit late. And I used to write a lot of articles, which I'd like to get back to. It's just that because I got booted.
Are you always a little late because you're a woman?
No, it's just because
I couldn't resist.
Yeah, okay, maybe it is. I don't know. I had a roommate, actually. She was always like 15 minutes late for things, and then the more you got to know her, the later she would get, to the point where you'd make a date to meet up downtown and she'd show up like an hour later. And
That's worse than stealing for me, man. That's like almost worse than stealing. It's such a pet peeve of mine. It's like, if people are habitually late, they're stealing. It is. Yeah. Talk about that, Tommy.
Well, that's just how I feel about it. I feel like if you say you're going to be somewhere, you've given your word. Your word is valuable. Or at least it should be.
Worms.
Maybe it isn't to some people.
My worms are bond.
Well, you have to recognize that other people are expecting, like, they're making commitments to be there as well. So, you know, it's not just your time that's involved. But yeah, YouTube, I don't know. When I first started, I'd heard about YouTube comments, but I hadn't experienced them yet. I don't know how people can just make comments all day long on YouTube videos and not make videos themselves.
But they're all on SSI. They're all on, like, disability for mental problems.
The biggest critics are the ones who have no videos.
Or they're bureaucrats.
And they like to tell you what you should be doing with your channel and what's wrong with your channel and all this other stuff. But the comment section gets to be wildly entertaining after you get used to it. And, I could tell you some of the stuff that gets said to me that you have to have a really thick skin. But I couldn't even read half the comments on live air because they're just so foul, the language on there. And I really like it when you get a great diss. You know, it's like if they get really creative with how ugly you are and, how many other people they would rather have sex with and and all the different reasons why. A lot of comments are like that. It's funny when you're female making videos, there's an advantage because you'll get like 4 or 5 times more views than a guy saying the exact same things, just because people will click on a video with a female. And
yeah, people have sort of figured it out with like Prax Girl and Libertarian Girl and stuff like that, Objectivist Girl. Like, for some reason, women make better spokes people. I'm not sure why.
Wait. What did you just say about Objectivist Girl? I have to object to this. What'd you say, Davi?
That she has more viewers than a male of the same content would have. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I see. Okay. All right. Carry on. Sorry. I'm editing the first hour, so go on for the podcast. Well, go on.
And he's checked out. He's
I'm listening, but I'm working on the podcast for this show. I'm multitasking. Go ahead.
And you can see how they play up on it. I mean, like, we talked about the Molyneux videos that I did criticizing him, but right before that I did one criticizing Lacey Green. And she's known for framing her camera so like the top of her head will be slightly cut off so that she can get the full amount of her cleavage into the shot. And then she does videos talking about being objectified. Right? That's the stupidest part.
Wow, who's this?
Lacey Green. She started out as an atheist community member. I think she was sort of like keen on the atheism plus thing that happened when they added plus feminism, right? And
I don't really follow this whole like YouTube world at all. I kind of got wrapped into Gamergate a little bit with
thick feminism. No, it'd be thick atheism. Explain it. Diana, do you know what thick and thin libertarianism are?
No, I don't.
Davi, like you want to say that? It's a diet. No, go ahead.
Sure. So pretty much all branches of libertarian are based in some form on the non-aggression principle, which is to just say that it's illegitimate to attack, steal, initiate or commit
force.
Fraud.
Yeah, force
to initiate fraud. Force, yeah. Or fraud on a person, right? So a thin libertarian is a person who says that's all you need. The non-aggression principle is the only sort of like enforceable principle that society needs to function, and everything else is preference. And a thick libertarian is one who's like, well, I have a preference that is not only a preference, but is necessary, and a free society can't exist without it. And so it's sort of like a non-aggression principle plus.
Okay, right.
And so they call it thick and thin libertarian.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm probably thin libertarian, but thin libertarian plus, I think, is what I am. Basically, my thing is, I pretty much think non-aggression principle is the only real, like, rule in life, you know, that and keep your word. But I think that even goes into it. Like when someone is habitually late, I feel like they're violating the non-aggression principle. I mean, or like, you know, violating some basic principle. But there's also the don't be a Richard principle, which I guess you could be a total Richard to everybody, you know, just be a mean person to everybody. But and you're still a ethical, consistent libertarian. But I don't think anyone should want to be around you, you know.
Well, when you mentioned like a microaggression, right, being late, and that's would be a typical kind of microaggression.
No, I think it's a major aggression, and I think I should be able to shoot people for being late. No, I'm kidding.
Well, what are people talking about?
Microaggression, I think of microaggressions as like things that whiny people do. So are you saying that's not really an aggression?
Well, it's in the perception of the person calling it a microaggression, because they start, when you listen to them, they start reading motivations into it, right?
I don't think that being late habitually is an aggression. I think it's stealing. And I think it's, I think people should immediately, like, toss people out of their life forever if they're really, really late 2 or 3 times. That's all. I do.
Well, I don't hang out with that ex-roommate anymore, but... One time, the last time, actually, she was over an hour late, and it had been a dinner plan. And then when she showed up, I was trying to organize this dinner and she was bringing her mother. And then I found out, like, then they were just kind of walked through the apartment. She was showing off, oh, yeah, this is where I live. And then I kept on getting weird looks. It turned out they'd eaten already, and nobody even told me. And I had been putting off my dinner for over an hour, thinking that we were going to do that when he arrived. And, oh, it was absolutely, like, it was really insulting.
You were robbed.
Yeah. Because, you know, she didn't even text, or, like, there was absolutely no consideration for plans or, you know. But in her case, I had worked it out. Like, when she was young, her mother used to make a big deal about saying she might kill herself right when she was getting ready to go to school every day. So she
her had mother would time. Say that she would kill herself.
Yeah, she had the hardest time leaving the house. Okay. And I watched her in a panic all the time because she'd be getting ready to go. And then all of a sudden it'd be like, something's wrong. Something. She'd check everything. She'd go through every room and then something else would come up. And then and this is me watching her trying to get ready for work. And she would always be late. And finally, while I was doing her coloring her hair for one time, we got chatting. And it turned out that every time she was going to school when she was a teenager, her mother, I guess, had depression. And she would say something about, well, I might not be here when you get home. And she would imply that she was going to kill herself. And then she would be like, oh, she was afraid to go to school because she thought maybe I should stay home with her. Right?
Wow. Sure that is... Talk about an anxious life.
Yeah. And she never thought about it before, that it could be connected to her lateness. And
it's connected?
I think it is. Huh. So, that's just as an instance of somebody doing something that was extremely rude and to the point of, like, you just couldn't maintain a friendship, right? And I don't actually think that it was her fault. Like, I don't think it was intentional. So,
it was insurmountable? She was incapable of showing up on time?
Yeah, she was incapable. She was
constitutionally incapable of being honest with herself. Nice timing.
I don't know. Is it a violation of the nap if someone with Parkinson's slaps you by mistake?
No. People can be damaged as they want, but I don't want to have to hang out with them. So we'll be back with the aggression in the third act. Redemption in the third
aggression
act.
In the third
You're
act.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN. FM.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow. Meow. Meow, meow. Meow. Diana's meowing. One of us. One of us. So, when athletes are injured, the team physician will come out and give them a shot of cortisone, and then they can play against the pain. Like, it's not even narcotics. It's just, steroid. And it's not an anabolic steroid. It's the kind that I'm on for asthma. So I was, having asthma from talking too much too many days in a row. So I went and took my prednisone pills. I'm in the pregnant zone. Took my daily prednisone, and took it a few hours early, and I'm starting to feel like I can finish this last five-minute segment. So the topic apparently is, setter setting, nature, nurture, like what sets up what a kid is. And I'll just put in my two cents is that I really like making sweet, sweet love with women who are kind of curvy, wearing a slip and high heels in bed and lipstick. And That's because that's pretty much how my mother dressed. She didn't dress like a prostitute. I'm saying, like, she was a lady. She was a professional. She worked in offices and, you know, ran a business. And she wore high heels and, you know, wore a slip under it and wore a dress and wore tasteful makeup and was kind of curvy and not skinny. And, like, you know, when I just started realizing what women were and that I liked them, I was like, that's the template, man. That's it right there. So... I'm an MF, man. I'm a mofo. But, you know, I never did with her, obviously. But so carry on, carry on with whatever you guys are going to talk
about. Far too much information.
Hey, man, this is my therapist. I mean, why would I go to a therapist? I've got a microphone and at least 10,000 people listening. You realize there are at least 10,000 people listening to us right now, Diana, right on the radio.
I don't want to know that.
Okay, I told you. I waited until the last segment.
To you guys.
I know that's how we do talk radio. We're all shy. All of us are shy, except Davi. Davi's a mofo. No, I'm kidding.
So, well, I was researching to follow that up though about, you know, the innate versus, you know, the nature versus nurture thing. When I was researching criticisms, proper full on criticisms of Stefan Molyneux
to
my videos. One of the things was about his proper parenting practices. I like how he does all these acronyms and stuff too, but it's the PPP.
He wants to be important. I go PP.
What's the PPP?
PPP.
So proper parenting practices.
Proper parenting and practice is a PPP.
It's the PPP.
Okay. I had a German teacher that used to give students PPs, and it stood for participation points. And PPs. If you were bad in class, he'd give you a red PP.
A red PP, man.
That was what he called it.
He didn't get it because he was German.
Point.
Yeah, but pee-pee is French. Like in French people call American coffee cat piss, but the nickname for it, they call it pee-pee kitty, which is French for cat piss. So pee-pee kitty.
Well, it's right there. I mean, an Americano is an espresso that's watered down.
Yeah, yeah. They're insulting by naming it that. Okay, so yeah, Molyneux thinks he invented not spanking. Dr. Spock's baby book came out in the 50s. I mean, and that's actually a lot of conservatives actually consider that book like the beginning of the decline of Western civilization, like that and protesting the Vietnam War, which all patriotic Americans and Canadians should love. So I don't know. I don't think
if you go to Benjamin Spock's Wikipedia page, there's actually a big section on there about the amount of criticism and the level of criticism that he's received because of this, and exactly for that reason, like saying he's caused the decline of civilization, basically, by spoiling children with his...
Well, my parents had that book. My parents got that book after my three siblings were, like, in high school and out to college, and then got that book and used it to raise me. So I was the first one they didn't smack. And look how I turned out.
But, like, how long have we had this timeout thing? Like, you know... Way before Molyneux decided to come up with
this. I think I heard that term in kindergarten, and I'm 51.
Yeah. I really like when my kids.
I understand it. I don't think the peaceful parenting folks would endorse timeouts either, but I definitely grew up with timeouts.
Well, they called it something different. It was go stand in the corner, but it was like, it wasn't go stand in the corner for sure. It was like, go sit over there, like, go, you know, until you calm down. So you're going to say something, Diana? Mm-hmm. About parenting?
When my kid was in about grade 2 or something like that, I remember using the word stupid, and her jaw dropped. She's just like, oh, you can't say that? That was the worst word in the world, as far as she was concerned. And
yeah. They didn't have PC when I was in grade school, but they had, like, yeah, you couldn't use negative terms already. They were already in that.
My reaction was just like, oh, kiddo, you got lots to learn about language.
It's been a good show, man. Thanks for coming on, Diana. I think you passed the audition. If you want to come back later and other times and do more fiends with us, I like it.
I'll order that microphone. How about that?
Cool. I'm Johnny Microphone Seed, spreading microphones, good audio around the world. Thank you, Davi, for your service. Like butter. Butter?
Yes.
Spread like butter. Yeah.
Surprise him.
Worms.